The Brian Golf Show.
Four.
Presented by Cobra Puma Golf.
That was an excellent shot.
Yeah, real good form.
We got to welcome Chris Baker, a good friend of mine, who just graced us with his presence, just coming to the shop, basically using us to work on his own golf clubs. Welcome back. Third time on the show.
Love it. Thanks, Brian. Brian Golf home studio is an incredible spot. Truly enjoy being here every single time I come and getting my stuff dialed in properly.
It's just, I mean, it's like, what, 45 minutes though from, you know, you're a beach guy, you're a beach goer.
Right. Yeah, I live Jack's Beach area, so yeah, 45 minutes, but worth the trip.
You know, you've been kind of like in and around this, you know, over your years. You've been to some pretty impressive places. How are we doing? Don't give me the friend response. How are we doing here?
Yeah, no, I think there's some things we can prove, but no, honestly, it's great. It's an awesome spot. I mean, it's got the GC Quad, which I also have. I think one of the reasons why I have it is because of your facility to begin with. I trust it 100%. It gives great numbers and good feedback, and you can get better using that. And then, I mean, you've put together an unbelievable fitting profile board, it looks like. I mean, you got every shaft that one could possibly want, I would think.
Almost.
I've got three graphite shafts, and that's plenty for me.
That's kind of bullshit, because I feel like you actually have this under your bed. Like, you have spare bedroom of just shafts.
I've given up the club stuff. I'm over it. I've got the same shaft for going on 2 years now.
Yeah.
Which is big for me.
Yeah. Show some love to Nippon, the Modus 130S, right? That's been your shaft. I think, so you were on the podcast just about a little over a year ago. So the second time you were on, it was right after you played with Tiger Woods at the Farmers, which is just still amazing to even think about. I'm sure you think about that all the time. Were you sad that he invited Charlie Woods to go play in the Father-Son? Like, didn't you think like he could adopt you at that point?
Yeah, I don't think he wanted me as his adopted son. I was pumped to see Charlie. That was cool.
That was cool, right?
I mean, Tiger is unbelievable. I mean, you can just tell he's a great dad. He's teaching Charlie to, you know, behave on the golf course. Great etiquette. You could see him having fun with other guys out there. He's also really pretty good at golf.
He's kind of good.
Yeah,
he made a swing. Kind of frightening.
Yeah, I think Tiger would be jealous of his golf swing, at least his mobility.
Sure. Yeah.
Mobility. I mean, his hips are turning through the golf ball before he's even at impact. Which
I'm so jealous of the way that little kid rotates through the ball, like with speed. I don't know, man, but
the game's changed. I know we go back a long ways.
Yep.
Deer Creek. Yeah, my golf swing wasn't like that. And I don't think yours was either.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I remember playing that golf course. There was a creek on the second hole.
Yeah.
I remember I had to lay up on it.
Yep.
I don't know how far that was to carry, but I was laying up. I know most people were hitting over it at the time.
It's the dumbest hole in golf, by the way. It was the dumbest hole. So let me just, for the record here, because we're gonna bring a tournament, and I'm gonna talk to you about this because I want you to build a retro golf bag for me here in just a few minutes. But you know, this is very unscripted. We just kind of said, you know what, let's just catch up, let's talk and see where this goes. And you bring up Deer Creek number two. It's like a 440-yard par four or something from the tips. And it's like a 280 carry, I think, from the tips.
I might still be laying up.
There used to only be the tips, okay? And then they finally, I think maybe my sophomore or junior year of high school, they built an upward tee box, and it was the worst tee box ever. It's like they buried a Volkswagen or something on it. It was never even. And then it became like a 200-yard carry or something along those lines, okay? So it was very, but I remember my freshman year of high school, you know, I hit it like 240 off the tee when I poked it, like a good one. And yeah, I had to hit like 5-wood, and sometimes 5-wood would go into the water because the way the pond was, you either had to hit it 170 or you had to hit it 280.
Right.
Whatever it was. And then you had, you know, it was basically a 3-shot hole. But eventually it became a hole where even from the tips, you could go driver wedge.
Right.
It's just how much technology in the game has changed since then.
It's crazy. Crazy to think the technology difference. I mean, 34 years old now, I guess, let's run it back 20 years. So I'm 14. I mean, I think a good drive when I was 14 was probably 250.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a great drive.
That was the benchmark, right? If you could hit it 250.
That's big.
Mm-hmm.
That's far. I mean, Charlie's, he's 11, and I bet he was hitting it.
Think he was hitting it there?
250.
I don't know. I didn't see any numbers on that.
Yeah, I didn't show numbers. I know the 3-wood he made eagle on, I think it was like 180.
That's awesome. And it was a 5-wood, I think.
Was it 3-wood? 5-wood?
But okay. It could have been a 5-wood. He might not have a 3-wood because a lot of kids, a lot of junior kids that I get in here and whatnot, they need loft that 5-wood. But the fact that he was able to like make that shot happen was pretty special.
Incredible. First one ever, I guess, too.
Yeah. Well, I think he said in competition.
Oh, in competition.
I think Tiger came back and was like, it was the first one in competition.
Fair enough.
Still a big deal.
Both very excited.
Yeah.
It's cool to see.
It's very, very, very entertaining. I saw all the memes where everybody was talking about, you know, like, not now, honey. I'm watching an 11-year-old, you know, play golf, whatever it may be. And let's just hope that he progresses the way he's supposed to. And if he one day decides he wants to be a professional golfer, like, he gets to be that.
Right.
And I think I heard, like, Riggs or someone on the 4Play pod say, if this guy has this career one day where he has 20 wins and, like, 3 majors or whatever. So whoever has that resume, that it would be a complete failure because it's Tiger Woods' son. Where I feel like it's the opposite. If this guy wins on the PGA Tour one day, holy
incredible.
Shit. You kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, the pressure he has.
Right.
Tiger Woods' son. I mean, I know playing with Tiger, playing golf inside the ropes for him is the easiest aspect of his life. Being outside the ropes, doing normal human things. I mean, he has to be so on guard, on call.
Well, he doesn't get to do normal human things.
He doesn't. He can't go anywhere and not get bombarded. And once he stops once, he's stuck.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in my opinion, he was a great guy. And I think if he talks to someone for a little bit, he's just going to keep going and he's not going to get to where he wants to be. So, playing golf for him is, I feel like that's probably the easier part. And then Charlie, I mean, gosh, he's got to deal with the social media. He's got to deal. I mean, 11-year-old kid, like having that much attention on national TV, on Instagram, on Facebook. We didn't have this stuff when we were kids. I mean,
so we're going to do a tournament. We've talked about it a little bit where we are going to do a, like a retro golf bag where you can play in this tournament, but your clubs must be. And I've just randomly, because my formative years in golf were 97 to 2001. It's when Tiger won the Masters. And that's when I really picked up the game and started to fall in love with golf clubs. So from 97 to 2001, we're going to do a retro golf tournament. I'm trying to convince Mel into letting us do it at Deer Creek because I want to do it at a normal-ass golf course, and I want to have...
Deer Creek's my spot.
It's the jam. You've got a great record there. I have a great record there as well. I'll just say it's just not as impressive as yours, but I played it a lot more. So I would be like, you're like that MMA fighter that like every time you went there, you won, but you only played there like 4 times. I like have a lot of wins and losses there, but plenty of wins, okay?
We need to make it happen.
Mostly, I want this tournament at that golf course. So if we can make that happen and we can get 20 to 30 guys or whatever for just a day of golf, whatever it may be, maybe 2 days of golf, where everyone's playing golf clubs from 97 to 2001. I've already assembled my driver and my 3-wood, and I've got a wedge here. Hold on. I've got to cross the room for a second. So I got a pure spin, diamond-faced 52-degree wedge.
This is great. You're going to love this.
All right, my driver. The 975D with the UST Pro 475.
Which, that, if you had that shaft and driver combination back in 1997, I don't even know when it came out. That was it. I feel like it was UST or the EI-70.
EI-7, and then Graphloy. They had the Pro Light. There's like the maroon one.
The maroon Graphloy. That's yep. Right.
And then over there in that bag, I think I have a steel. I'm not going to run over there and grab it because I just don't know if it's over there, but I have a Steelhead Plus 3-wood, which, I thought that I hit it really far, but I guess I didn't back then because I hit it now like 250 if I'm lucky. That thing, so I did a test that I'm going to do. I've already made the video for YouTube. So the 975D versus the new Titleist TSI-3. And the new TSI-3 goes about 20 to 30 yards farther in that thing.
This club, this 975D, I mean, does it get any better?
No, it doesn't. Like, that feels...
I've got one at home, and I've got a YS6
oh, wow.
Shaft in it,
yeah.
If I recall.
I think that's an old graphite design.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that was the one I used or not, but I've got it at the house.
Well, you're in. You're so in the tournament.
I can enter.
I can enter.
I have that. I know I used.
So iron-wise, like I was thinking about getting some, my first set of real irons that I bought were TaylorMade Firesoul. And I thought about, because somebody just, I counter-offered my offer at $50. They countered with $55 for a full set of Firesoul tours. So, but I was thinking of going Titleist on my irons and getting like DCI 962Bs or 990s. Do you remember the 990s or 981s?
I didn't have Titleist irons. I definitely remember having TaylorMade irons.
Did you?
I had the TaylorMade Burner.
They had Burner Tours?
No, and they burners? Were LC...
LCG.
G.
Yeah, low center of gravity.
Which I guess is a good thing.
It used to be all the rage. Now the center of gravity is super, super low, and they're putting more and more weight back there. But golf clubs have changed so much. So I just think it's... Like, what do you think if you went out... So we didn't even say this. Obviously, it should go without saying at this point. Chris Baker plays on the PGA Tour. He's a professional golfer. He's one of the best in the world at his craft. He's my favorite golfer. What do you think you would shoot on a PGA Tour golf course today with a set of golf clubs that you had when you were a kid? I'll give you this. You can spec them out to at least, you know, your shafts and everything like that. How do you think you would fare?
I mean, obviously, different courses. If you go play Torrey Pines South, that's going to be pretty difficult.
That's not fair.
I'd say if you put on a golf course that's, you know, mediocre distance length, I don't think length's going to be an issue. I think you just have to find a set of clubs that you're comfortable with. But yeah, you're still going to play just fine.
You think you shoot about the same?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a difficult time competing or performing. I think the difference in this 975D is. Just looking at the face, and it looks less forgiving.
Yeah.
I think that's probably pretty safe to say it is less forgiving.
It has more grooves than my wedge.
It does, yeah.
Like, what the hell?
I like that. I like the grooves. I'm sure they do something.
Well, I think back then they were needed. So, okay, here's my thing then. So by going to 2001 for this tournament, we allow people to play a solid core golf ball. The, you know, Nike Tour Accuracy, the Pro V1, they could play that. I feel like if I was to play in that, I would 100% be playing either a Tour Prestige or a Tour Professional. Yeah,
I think you have to match the ball with the technology at the time.
I think you do.
And I don't think you can, like if you go take a Persimmon Wood and you hit a Pro V,
No, it's not the same. People do it all the time.
It's not going to work the same as it did, right? Like the ball is not going to perform the way that head was designed.
Well, I think the ball's gonna overperform too, distance wise.
Right. It's gonna overperform the wood.
Yeah.
Sure. But you're gonna lose a lot of control.
I think so.
I think you're gonna hit a lot of knuckleballs that can just kind of go.
And that's what I do. Yeah. I hit little 280 yard knuckle fades with that thing that truly they would never go 280. Like if I hit it
just a firm fairway.
Yeah, well, Pebble Beach, you know, I just Pebble Beach here on GC Quad. That's all I've been doing, you know, just, but these fairways are I normally have them set pretty firm. You know, to match the conditions of a PGA Tour golf course, you got to do that sometimes.
That's right.
Do you think the ball is the biggest performance? There's two things, right? Drivers and how forgiving they are. They allow you to swing kind of like an animal at it and still kind of hit it straight. And then the ball. Which side are you on? Do you think there's one or the other that's a little more impressive as far as performance back then versus now?
I think technology in general, right? The driver is much bigger, more forgiving. I think people were hitting down on woods more,
mm-hmm.
angle of attack on the old technology. Now people are hitting up on it, i.e., Justin Thomas, right? Hits up on it. And then I think technology in teaching and even physical
so not learning, just not just in the golf clubs.
I think everything just has evolved. I think the golf clubs definitely changed, but people's bodies have changed and ideas on how they can play golf. I mean, Charlie Woods, we just talked about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at 11 years old, we had friends that played golf. We played golf. I don't think anyone swung like Charlie Woods. At 11 years old.
I think 11 years old, I was just picking up golf clubs truly for the first time. And terrible. I look like an idiot on the golf course. Like I would complete hack.
No,
barely breaking 100. You know, my freshman year.
I'm 11 years old.
No, I'm saying that. Like when I like actually picked up the game, like picked up golf clubs at 11, I looked like an idiot. Then I go play golf at like 12 and 13 and I'm like starving to shoot 100.
Right.
I would do anything to shoot 100.
Yeah, it's safe to say Charlie didn't shoot 100.
No. What do you think he shoots?
I don't know. I'm sure you could probably look it up somewhere.
Do you think somebody said something today, who's got a really good junior player that I fit, and we're actually, he's, I think he's 12 or 13, and he's so shallow that he actually hit, he has P7 70s now, little thicker sole. He actually hit the P7 MBs better, like way better, way more efficient. So thinner sole, I think that kind of helped him a little bit. He said something, like the dad said something, he's like, man, I was talking to so-and-so and they said, get him in blades as soon as you can, get him in blades. And I was like, you know what? I don't mind that idea, because it's kind of like the aim small, miss small, you know, they're going to get better, things like that. But I guess they said that about Charlie. You know, they said, one of the guys said, get him in blades as soon as you can. It's probably Nick Faldo. Who knows? Sounds like something Nick Faldo would say. But it's so challenging for like these junior players, you know, to get in here and you know, put the equipment that they get to use. It does help them compared to, like, everybody back then is playing like cut down heavy ass golf clubs.
My first set that was built for me, I actually, it's pretty funny. I was just home for Christmas and I remember seeing a picture. It was in a scrapbook, right? I had a set of XPC. They weren't even like a brand name. This is like a self put together job at your local club builder.
Yeah. Okay.
And
like a fake brand.
Yeah. They were just, you know, yeah, they were
like, instead of Cobra Golf, there was like Vipers.
Yeah.
You know, like that, King, right? Cobras, and there was King Vipers.
Yeah. So these things were just, it was a run of the mill, just kind of knockoff kind of thing. Remember, they were really heavy. I a buddy of mine, he had the exact same set, and this is still 10 years ago. I think he still had the 5-wood, and I picked it up, and it's a steel shaft, super whippy. The head is super, super heavy. I mean, I think this thing was like just a steel block.
Yeah,
like,
and then just slap hollow. It on a stick and yeah, go.
It wasn't even hollow. It was just a steel block. Here's your 5-wood. Good luck hitting it. Figure it out, right? So now you have kids that they're able to fit in your studio.
All of this.
They're able to come try all these options. That has to make you better quicker.
Right. Well, they have a lot of junior programs too, aside from the equipment. So like out at the club, they've got this, in everybody, they got this thing called Operation 36. Are you up on this?
I've seen it. Yeah. Just from the clubs.
I guess the whole thing. So if anybody doesn't know, it's like they put you at a certain yardage and you play that yardage until you break 36.
Which is gold.
Right? It's awesome.
Yeah. You learn how to score. You learn how to play good golf at every level.
And I think that anybody can do it though. I think like, you know, you're going to get more people into it because it's way less intimidating.
100% builds confidence, right? Like if you go out and play the forward set of tees, your first time ever playing golf, and you shoot 190.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to come back and play golf again?
Hell no.
It's not going to be any fun.
Hell no.
So
that's why I play from the ladies' tees now.
I think it's always better to go somewhere where you can at least enjoy your day and, you know, see yourself getting better, right? And progress right back. And I remember the first time I played the blue tees, and it was pretty intimidating. It was a friend of mine. He was the assistant club pro at the course I grew up at. And I remember we went out and played, and I went up to the white tees, and he yells at me. He's like, Chris, we're playing back here today. And to this day, I mean, Bill's a good friend, and he still tells me the story, like, you know, like he was there yesterday. So
yeah,
it was really cool. And I think there's just stuff like that. Operation 36, it just teaches you how to get better at each level. And I think that builds an excitement. So you shoot 36 from, let's say, T7, whatever it is. And then the next day you get to go play T6. Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's exciting and something to look forward to.
Yeah. So we're trying to get Gavin into it a little bit, you know, because he has every resource. When he gets to come here and, you know,
gets to hang out here, goes plays at, I'm guessing, at Tim Aquana.
He's going to play at Tim Aquana. He's going to grow up playing at Tim Aquana, which is pretty rad. But pretty awesome. They've got a really good junior program, and they're about to build this massive performance center out there in the back of the range. So it lends itself to hopefully him, you know, getting. But I just took my father-in-law out to Tim Aquana. You've played there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So my father-in-law, he's been playing the game for the last few years, and he's like, he gets into it. Like, he's very into the game, kind of gets swept up, and he's always on YouTube looking at golf stuff, whatever it may be. But he had more fun playing 9 yesterday with me at Tim Aquana than he ever has. And it's because the golf course doesn't penalize you like so many Florida golf courses do. And so, like, taking Gavin to, you know, Fleming Island, a golf course, a fun public golf course right here, but there's a lot of shit everywhere versus, out there, you know, it's like you find yourself in sand bunkers more often because they're actually properly placed where they're supposed to be versus a lot of designers that just throw bunkers and like, oh, look, this one looks pretty, right? So he loved that because it's a place where you can kind of run it up and roll it up. And, you know, sometimes the ball gets on the green, rolls off the green. Sometimes you get a break, whatever it may be. For Gavin, I think he's going to get pumped about it. But
Tim Aquan is awesome.
Dude,
one of my favorites.
Yeah. When are we playing? When are you playing? What's your schedule like? What are you doing? Like, all right, so we're New Year's. It's right around the, you know, the season's about ready to start, right? Are you going to go to Sony?
I've got my ticket.
You've got your ticket to Hawaii.
I've got a plane ticket.
Yeah, so that's
I've got a car rented. Okay. I don't have a place to stay yet. I'm going to get a hotel, but to be honest, I'm not even sure I'm in the tournament. So
you will be.
I have to wait until it gets closer to see how the deadlines fall out.
There's got
to
be somebody, plenty of people, if you're not like, you know, in now. There's got to be some people like, nope, going to pass on Hawaii this year, COVID.
Hawaii is a long ways away. Sony Open, I mean, I played it last year. It's an awesome event, but it is a long ways away, and COVID, unfortunately, throws a wrinkle in a lot of things.
Okay, so before we then get to, like, this year, this past year with COVID, how crazy has that been? I mean, this has been your rookie year of the PGA Tour. Now, they did you right, I believe, correct?
I feel like an unbelievable break.
Right. So for anybody that doesn't know, they basically extended your rookie season through this next season.
Yeah, so I think what happened is basically if you finished into the top 125, you moved up in status. I finished 163, which I was able to keep the same status because of the COVID. I missed several events, but blessed that they gave me status again. And then they just basically put us in the same Korn Ferry category that we were in last year, reshuffled us based off of where we finished last year's season.
Yeah.
And then we started this fall right away.
That's awesome, though, because for you, you're going to play as a rookie. They say one of the most challenging things is when you're seeing a golf course for the first time under PGA Tour conditions. For you, some of these tournaments coming, you kind of get like, oh, I've been here. I've done this. This is my second time playing this golf. Like when you go, if you go to Torrey, right, you're like, I've got good memories about Torrey last year.
Right. Yeah. No, being able to see the golf courses one time almost as like a trial year on the PGA Tour, I guess we'll call it.
It's kind of cool.
Kind of
advantageous.
Very unique.
Yeah.
Very unique, very cool. And I mean, I'm looking forward to next year's season and get going.
So how big of a challenge was COVID in general? I mean, I know it's a challenge for everybody, but just like to speak on it, how much does that just kind of throw everything off?
For me, COVID hasn't affected me dearly as much as some, unfortunately, or fortunately for me, I guess. But yeah, COVID for me has been very strange, just a big adjustment, I guess. I mean, I think I definitely injured myself trying to work out at home with limited equipment.
Yeah.
So everybody had to make their sacrifices and adjustments to try and get through it. But yeah, it's been trying for everyone, I think. And it sucked for the PGA Tour, sucked for all sports. I mean, I think people want to go out and watch. And I know the players of every sport, NFL, NBA, they want fans too. And
yeah,
hopefully we can get them back soon, make it all right.
Yeah, we had a big event. We had a big, like a Steez meet at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. We had a skybox on 16 and all of that. We were ready to rage.
Yeah, 16's gone.
It's gone, yeah.
It's going to be crazy. People are not going to – people will have no idea what that hole looks like with no skyboxes.
Without the skyboxes, and that's just it. I heard that they were working – this was like 3 or 4 months ago, whatever it was. I heard that they were trying to get it to where there's fans coming, but I think they think COVID was going to be a little further along than it is now. I don't know what they're doing.
Last I heard, there was possibly fans. I definitely know there's no build-out.
Yeah.
So, everyone else is doing week to week, day by day, and, you know, things can change. So, we'll see what happens.
How is that? Like, do you think you know, because obviously the crowds on a Korn Ferry Tour event are a little different than the crowds of a PGA Tour event. Do you think not having the crowds has kind of helped you be able to ease into and focus on just you? Or, you know, is it something where it doesn't really have an effect on you one way or another?
I'm not sure how it affects me. I think it's definitely a cool, like I enjoy having spectators and fans. I think it's something that I mean, I've worked for my entire life, not necessarily just for fans, but like, I want to be out there, and it's an experience, and I know I enjoy it. I know I'm ready for it to be back.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody, I mean, I want to go see golf, right? So are you able to get, like, it's you, your caddy, and that's it? You can't even get your family into events,
yeah,
huh?
As of now, I think it's player caddy, and we've had a few instances where, you know, spouses are allowed.
Okay.
But those have been few and far between. That took a while, so.
What are some of the, say, post-COVID, do you have any, like, really good memories, you know, tournaments and whatnot? Do you have anything, whether they involve you or not, right? Like, obviously watching the Fall Masters, you know, a lot of people are going to bring attention to that. You know, you had a U.S. Open, which was weird as can be with Bryson and Matt Wolf going down, and then it ended up being, it was just a weird tournament, you know, the first major back. The PGA was the first major back, and PGA. That was really weird. So do you have any memories, whether you were involved or not, of this year?
The PGA was. That was the first one. Memories for me, I mean, obviously that U.S. Open, right? I think Bryson is – what he's doing is incredible and crazy all at the same time. I mean, it's – I think he's injected a speed and distance part of the game that was getting there, and I think he just tipped the scale.
Yeah.
And now he's taking it to a new level. I tried to swing faster, and that's when I hurt myself.
Is that, you hurt your shoulder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
how fast do you swing? Driver. How fast do you swing,
I
driver?
Mean, I think my driver pre-injury was getting up to like 114, which is fast.
That's
for me.
That's fast for you, isn't
it's
it?
Fast, yeah. Definitely, I was playing, it happened after Michigan. I was playing Minnesota, Tahoe, and Greensboro, and I dare say I was swinging 107 or 6.
Oh,
it wasn't fast.
Yeah.
I know my turn stopped and wasn't turning behind the ball at all.
Okay.
But, yeah, couldn't get to the top of my backswing. But, yeah, I mean, Bryson's swinging at 100, what's he swinging, 140?
I don't know. He's got, like, a new record high. The longer that guy has to himself, the faster he gets.
Yeah.
Like when he takes a week off, you just see all these videos. He's working with Kyle Berkshire and everything, the long drive guy now, and they're working out together. And I mean, like teaching each other tricks of speed.
You didn't know that's why I came in today, right?
Was to
work with you.
Work with me on your speed.
And to get speed.
Yeah. So all you do is you just play the shaft that is 2.5 inches longer. Mm. Yeah. That's how I gain speed.
Okay. All right.
That's it. You did too. You were like,
I did
one actually. Ball out of the gate. You had like 4 miles an hour, more ball speed.
I think one ball, my driver, gamer driver was 112 on here. And I think it was 116 or 17 almost.
It might've been more than that. I'm just saying.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mess with it in here. Luckily for me, like I said, so we're talking about this hazardous smoke RDX that I play in my driver. Well, they make an LDX that they sent me a prototype of, and it's the same profile, but it's just meant to be played at 47 or 40, up to 48 inches, whatever it may be. So it is pretty impressive. It's like the easiest way to gain somebody 10 or 15 yards if you can keep it straight. So so this year, moving forward, what do we got? What do we got going on? What's the schedule like? When are we going to play golf? Like, when are we going to hang out and do like non-golf things? What are all the, what is this? And when are you getting married?
Okay, well, you just threw it all at me right there. We're going to play golf once the new year starts.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. I don't leave for Hawaii until the 10th.
Great.
So that leaves us with the 8 days, 9 days to play with there.
Okay.
What's coming up was the next question.
What's coming up, schedule wise?
Schedule wise,
Sony, potentially
Sony, Palm Springs.
Okay.
I don't know the schedule exact. Sony, Palm Springs, Torrey's in there.
Yep.
And then
that's a big field, isn't it? Because the two courses.
Yeah, Pebble's in there. So Pebble. Those four. So I'll have those four events in the West Coast. I got to do something special to get into Phoenix.
You didn't play Phoenix last year, did you?
No. Phoenix is tough.
If you were in that tournament and we were on 16, our skybox, well, I would have fucking made everybody. We would have wore Chris Baker shirts.
That would have been incredible.
We designed a logo. It's a pretty cool logo, actually, with Steez and T's logo and a hot dog, like a party hot dog, because the Thunder Dogs out there, you know, that they have on I guess the hot dog that's really good is called a Thunder Dog. And so we made this cool logo and we were all pumped and man, we were going to rage. That would have been really cool. Really cool. If you had like 30 hooligans just yelling at you.
I've heard stories that the fans definitely do not hold back. They make that hole a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've seen people hit it to like 5 feet. They cheer and then they miss the putt and they boo.
Oh yeah. That's a no-no.
That's terrible. I
mean, heaven forbid you miss a 5 foot putt.
I know.
Especially
right?
That much pressure. My last event pre-COVID was the Honda. Those par threes coming down the stretch are pretty cool.
They're rough.
Pretty cool. They're pretty hard.
They're hard.
And they'll make you nervous.
Yep.
And I've played that golf course for Q School back in the day. I've been 2015 probably. And then played that for the tournament. Now, granted, the results are still the same, right? If you hit it in the water, bad.
Yeah.
Right. Bad. Right. it's hard to say the pressure, but there's, you know, obviously both have pressure. I mean, Q School, no fans, enormous amount of pressure.
Yeah.
Honda on Sunday playing well, enormous amount of pressure. But the holes look different, right? It looked completely different. I mean, fans almost shape the hole and make it look bigger than it actually is. Or maybe, no, it makes it look smaller.
So then, I think it can make it look smaller because there's no space. You can't look beyond.
Yeah, it makes it look smaller. So you kind of almost get more focused in. It was kind of going back to the blade conversation.
Yeah.
You know, aim small, miss small.
That's
kind of cool. I guess, I mean, I've never really thought about it. I've definitely, you know, played the 15th hole at PGA National and looked at it and be like, wow, like there's no fans. And then when there is the skybox, the hole is still really hard. I mean, the fans don't make it easier, but it's a little more zoned in. And
the hole that gets me on that finish in the bear trap is 16. And it's not even the tee shot. It's that second shot in the 16 because you always have something, whether it's a mid iron or it's always seemed to be windy and you're hitting like, you know, you hit a tee shot 220 and then you got 200 in. Yes. And it's, I mean, like the green's kind of deceiving in a sense. There's like a big false front. And then the fans, you know, like I'm just picturing it as a guy who's played it with the stands up because I used to work out there. It's still really daunting for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, 16 is just a hard hole. I mean, it's 15's hard, 17's hard. Those two get the most attention. 16, I mean, the tee shot's very, very hard.
Like, yeah.
It's very narrow. If you miss it in those bunkers, that's not good because then you're going to have 200 plus.
From a bunker.
Over water.
Right. But the same thing goes.
You're missing the rough. Missing the rough, it's bad. The
rough's bad there. Well, I'm just thinking what makes that hole so hard is to make it easier off the tee, you can bail a little left and still hit the fairway, but you now have a longer shot into the green.
Yeah.
And it's like the difference is ridiculous. Right. And so I've always struggled with that hole.
It's a hard hole. I mean, I know I've played it. So I played four times there. I feel like I hit everything from the shortest club I would have hit was a 6-iron.
Yeah.
So a 6, 5, and 4-iron.
I feel like that's the norm
there. And I hit 4 good tee shots.
Yeah.
So if you hit a bad tee shot and you've got 240 yards from the left rough on a side hill, like, good luck.
Good luck. Yeah. And the greens are normally pretty firm
there
as well. So good luck. Now, have you played, because you practiced at a TPC in the stadium, have you played with the stands up there, obviously, and kind of been able to picture what Sawgrass looks like with fans?
Yeah, I play there a lot. It's the stands are, they put the stands up well in advance.
Because they have a lot of stands.
I feel like stands should be going up right now.
They should.
I think, and they're definitely not going up right
for
now.
For March, they should.
Yeah, I don't, there's so.
Nothing.
No stands right now.
Man.
So I don't think that's a good sign for spectators.
for the fact of stands, the PGA Tour, I wouldn't think the PGA Tour would risk that one. Right?
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't be the ones that like, in our tournament, we're going to bring a bunch of fans back.
Yeah.
Not after last year.
No, I think it's better safe than sorry.
So before I let you go, golf bag, retro, hold on. Before we talk about what's in the bag now, retro golf bag, do you have some clubs that you would put in your retro golf bag?
Retro golf bag.
Yeah, for retro 97 to 2001 tournament. For the sake of the podcast, I'll let you just pick any old clubs just for fun.
Gosh, I just got to go. I'm going with my clubs. Back then, and I think
the XPCs.
No, the XPCs. they didn't. Those didn't make it that long. I think they got replaced by some TaylorMades. Maybe LCGs.
LCGs are good.
I'm going LCGs. Either LCGs or the. No, we're going LCGs. TaylorMade LCGs for the irons.
Would they have steel or burner bubble shafts?
No, I was steel.
Yeah, okay.
It was light steel. I never had the burner bubbles.
I had them in my woods, of course.
Did you? Okay, yeah. I did have them in the woods. I'd say the driver has got to be 975D. It's just a great, like,
yeah.
I feel like everybody had it.
I think I could hit one better. Like in the 975J would be allowed in this tournament.
Oh, J is allowed.
The J would be allowed. It came out 2000?
The J was
2001?
Nice. The J was nice.
J was really nice. But I think I would still use that one for nostalgia reasons.
Okay. All right. And the 3-wood, I mean, gosh, I don't even... I probably had a TaylorMade 3-wood and 5-wood burner.
I feel like, and this is because I was a little bit of a club nerd back then, I feel like for whatever reason, I remember you having a Sonar Tech 3-wood with a Speeder 757.
Right.
Or maybe you had a Sonar Tech 3-wood, but then you had a Speeder and some other club.
Bring him back. I had a Sonar Tech 3-wood, which was incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
With a Aldila NV, the green one.
Green one.
Driver, YS6 maybe.
Yeah, in that shaft, know. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Sonar Tech was good.
Yeah, they were good. The people still talk about those today.
They were hot.
What kind of putter would you have?
When was the 2-ball? When did it come out?
I think 2001. 2001 or 2002, but probably 2001.
So I know I used the 2-ball forever.
Did I think I remember that
was back
too.
Before I switched putters on a daily basis.
let's see. I don't know. Original white hot 2-ball. 2-ball putter.
I still have the original. Problem was that one, I actually had Odyssey.
2001.
Odyssey, I gave it back to them and they reshafted it for me. The original one, the one I had forever.
Was this recently when you bought one off eBay that had the Valero Texas Open logo?
That's right. That was a backup. That was a backup.
Okay.
So I bought that one, the Valero Texas Open. I needed to keep that, but I didn't play the Valero.
You should have.
Because they canceled because of COVID.
Yeah, unfortunately. But maybe this year.
Had I been in the Valero, I needed to use that putter.
You would have won with a logoed putter. That would have been the most hack story ever. You would have been on golfwrx.com. You would have been a hero, a savior. Shit, you should. You know what you should do? Because you're a Pro V1 guy, but we don't know if you're a Pro V1 or a Pro V1X guy for this new ball, right?
Still working on that, I
guess. Who knows?
I had no idea until I came in here and just more questions.
Yeah, right.
I'm starting to get answers.
Yeah.
But there's more questions.
You should be the guy that when you go to the tournaments like that, you should buy logoed balls and play them. It's actually amazing.
It's actually a pretty amazing idea.
It's a great bit.
Right?
Yeah.
If they have a logoed Pro V1,
yeah.
You think I could trade them out?
I'm sure somebody there would be willing to give them to you.
That'd be great.
But think about you could sign those balls, throw those balls out. Do you sign golf balls?
For sure.
Is it hard? I would suck. My name, I got a long last name, couple more letters than yours.
Well, I've only got 10 letters.
Total. That's good.
It's fairly legible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's definitely it's an acquired skill.
Yeah. See,
you should just go home and practice.
I don't really feel like I'll need to practice.
I think Gavin needs a signed golf ball from Brian the Roach.
No, I don't know about that. He has a signed Honda Classic lanyard from you from the first year you played. Actually,
the first. So from
your first event.
Was that 2015?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. But it wasn't, it was this year he's got a glove. From the Honda this year, from you.
This year, I mean, coming up.
I don't think we're going to be there.
Going to miss out on it, huh?
I don't think we're going to be there. I don't know if we'll be allowed.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll be allowed. And now that we got the shop, man, if you don't make money and make cuts, then we can't come because we're going to be Sundays only. You know? It's going to be the only time.
I hope I'm playing on Sundays.
Listen, the only time I am taking a week off of this place is for when you call me in an emergency and you're like, Brian, I need your expertise on the golf bag. And I need a story. I need to win with Brian on the bag and logoed golf balls from the golf course I'm playing.
That right there is that's a dream.
I'm telling you, you'd really raise your clout in the social media world. You would have fans, especially the logo golf ball idea.
I like the logo ball. I think that's a...
I put my name on my balls and I just hit them out. I hit them and wherever they go, I just leave them just so people can find me. Yeah.
I feel like it's almost like Ben Curtis back when he wore the professional sports team.
Yeah.
Each place.
Yeah.
I feel like logo balls could catch on.
So dude, so are you contracted with anybody right now?
Titleist.
Titleist. Okay.
The ball.
Ball. Okay.
Ball, shoe and glove.
Okay.
A ball and glove, I guess, currently.
FootJoy, right? FootJoy glove or yep. Titleist glove?
No, FootJoy.
FootJoy glove. Okay. So you could wear like Indianapolis Colts hats.
For sure.
Every week.
For sure.
I think that's a great way to get fans, man. What kind of hat do you wear now? Do you just kind of, you know, wear whatever?
A lot of P Puma hats.
Oh, those are good. Those. I don't have any of those. I'll need to.
Yeah, you don't have any.
I might need to borrow some.
Yeah, Puma's been great. So I mean, I still wear those a lot. I currently in tournaments, I'm wearing those all the time.
Okay. I'm a big fan of Puma, but I'd like to see a Colts hat.
Colts hat might come out.
I would just like to see
I've
one.
I've got a few at the house.
Yeah, you just but Colts it's got to be the right one.
I've got a really cool Jacksonville jumbo shrimp hat.
should do that.
It might just be cool in my own mind.
Yeah.
But logos.
Yeah.
Can I get some Sony opens or do I get Wild Eye?
I think you get the course.
Wild Eye Country Club.
Not the event. You get the course. And that should be your thing. Like you should take a picture, throw it on Instagram. This is my one tidbit to you. All right. I'm gonna like share the hell out of this. Everybody's gonna know it originated here on this pod. Everybody that cares, you know, as far as like the 10 people that listen to this, they're gonna be like, holy shit, you're gonna post that and you'll be like, ball in play or whatever. Logo in play. What's in the bag? WITB.
I think it's a great way to start the season.
Dude, I want to
see Wild Eye Country Club.
I want to see it. I want to see it happen.
I'm pumped.
I'm stoked again. You know, that we're gonna have what looks like a full PGA Tour season, whereas this year it was cut short. You know, a bunch of tournaments there. I think there was a lot of tournaments in there that you would have played in, and it kind of, you know, some good opportunities kind of missed, and maybe, you know, maybe this year get a little more momentum and don't feel like such a rookie, I guess. You know, do you feel like a rookie?
I mean, yeah, I'm still the young guy.
Nope. Right? No, you're a seasoned vet.
But now I'm a seasoned vet.
You've been to these places before.
I'm definitely not a rookie. I'm 34 years old. Like, who am I kidding? Like,
that's youthful.
Charlie's 11. Charlie's gunning for me. I got these young bucks.
You should have a couple tour wins under your belt before he even comes out on tour. All right, let's just be honest with yourselves.
We're gonna make it happen.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming in here. Thanks for thanks for the kind words you said about Brian Goff and our establishment here. I'll pay you under the table for the endorsement and the kind words. And we look forward to catching up here. We need to have more of Chris Baker in here and more Chris Baker. I need to see you more this year. I say it probably all the time, but I'm gonna start bugging you more often and be like, let's go play golf.
Play some golf. We'll get into the bottom of this Pro V1X conversation.
Yeah, because I think there's something there for everybody. So they
find out the clubs I need to play too.
I like the clubs. Are we allowed to say what you have in the bag right now before we get off the phone?
No, I mean, I think so. Yeah, I mean, why can't we? It's been a rotating door with golf clubs. unfortunately or unfortunately, I don't have a club contract of any sort. So I finished the season in Mexico with a set of Miras. I still have the set of Miras.
501s?
501s.
Yeah.
But just got a new set of toys. They're the PXG blades.
These are like the crown jewel PXG blades. They are not the 0311Ts. They're the STs. Do you know what ST stands for, Bake? Super Tour.
Super Tour.
You are on the PGA Super Tour.
I love that.
With those in your
Super
bag.
Super Tour.
Those are amazing. So those things retail $650 a club head. That is so expensive.
That's not cheap.
Yeah, and you had to pay double that, didn't you?
I did. They no, I'm excited to see how they go.
Early testing feel good.
Early testing, yeah, they feel great.
They go far, but we don't know if is it the club or the ball.
I don't know. Yeah, we have too many questions. Club, ball. I also didn't play any golf the last couple of weeks, so
you're fresh.
I mean, my body it's feeling better.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, so we'll see. Time will tell. I mean, I took them outside when it was cold when I first got them.
Yeah. It's just like Christmas morning, right?
Yeah, anytime you get a new set of golf clubs.
Did they deliver them in a black box?
No, I told them not to, actually. Oh. Well, I didn't tell them not to. I said I asked when they were coming in because I heard that the PXG black box is quite the hot item.
Oh, yes, yeah.
On someone's front porch.
Everybody wants that, yeah.
So I figured... A little bit incognito.
Give me a brown box.
Yeah. I just want to, that way I know I get them.
So whenever they send us clubs from PXG for customers that we fit into PXG, the black box is inside a big cardboard box, but we're talking like we're ordering a lot.
Right.
Right.
I've seen the black box.
Yeah. It's actually a really...
It's a well-known...
It's a really awesome thing.
Oh, it's incredible.
And there's an envelope that you get. I'm trying to think because I want to steal this idea. This is... Okay, so this is a tailor-made one. It's an envelope. You know, you open it up and it has like the specs. Oh, I took the specs out. But this is... See the PXG one? You know, it's... Oh, God. There's some PXG stickers for you, dude. You can put that on your car. You got a PXG stickers falling everywhere. Yeah, but it tells you, you know, Lewis H. built these clubs and they were inspected by Chris W. I just want Lewis H. and Chris W. to know that I took those clubs apart and I rebuilt them.
Well, I'm sure they appreciate it.
I just did. We ended up putting different shafts in them.
You got to really have to respect someone that double checks everything.
Yeah, but I like this that they do that, and I want to steal this idea. We do have like little cards. This is Connor Marsh's card, and he actually got a PXG driver, so cool. That's actually really funny, you know. So this is the cheap version. It's a little Brian Golf there.
I like that.
Yeah. You open it up
with your specs.
Whoa, got a little spec sheet in there, and then signed Brian.
I like that.
I unfortunately, thank you for trusting me with your clubs. I only signed up my first name.
Well, I think people respect, and they like to know that their clubs are built properly. And that's one thing you can do and you can control.
Yep. As far as I'm concerned, that's about the only thing you can control. Yeah. Like on my ends, right? Well, like
that's why I'm here. I came here to fix some grip issues and some loft and lie issues.
You came here to tinker. That's what you came here for. Well, again, I appreciate it, man. Wish you the best of luck. Follow this guy on Instagram, Chris Baker Golf. He's going to be playing freaking logoed golf balls this year, people.
I love it. No one else in the event will have a logoed golf ball.
Nope. Which is good. There's not very many spotters out there, too, you know, like
no
right now.
Well,
there's no fans.
No fans.
To help.
But if you hit in the middle of the fairway, who needs a spotter?
Which is what you do. Could you imagine if there were fans out there, they'd be like, oh, look at this Sony Open ball. Look at this Wildlight Country Club ball. This is clearly not somebody in this event. Oh, that's amazing. Greatest idea.
This is the only year this is going to work.
Yeah,
you got to take advantage of it.
Do it. All right, man. Appreciate you coming by. Thanks, good luck to you this year.
Appreciate it.